This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Kua whitirea te putahi manawa i o matua te kore. Kua puta ko te pō, ko te ā, ko te pū, ko te weu, ko te more, ko te aka. E tahoto ana ngā tūa nei, wakarongo ki te tangi o ngā manu. Ngā manu tui, tui, tui ā, tui ā i runga, tui ā i raro, tui ā i roto, tui ā i waho, ka rongo ki te pō. Ka rongo ki te ao, ko ia ko matari ki puanga putara, whakataura patau toru, takurua atutahi, tahere maira, marere o tonga, ki te punga tauha o te waka, whakatau ihu. Te mataua Māui ki te tiki tiki o ngā rangi ei. Ka tiwha te pō, ko te pō nui, ko te pō roa, ko te pō uri uri, te pō tango tango, te pō kere kere, ka puta, ka puta. Ki te whai au, ki te au maramande, tihe mauriora.
Welcome to Aotearoa, New Zealand. I am Haritina Mogoshanu, your storyteller from the Southern Hemisphere. And tonight I have a very special guest, Toa Waka, who is the Vice President of the Society for Māori Astronomy Research and Traditions.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. I believe this is our national authority on Māori astronomy and traditions, and this organization is also known as the Smart Trust. Toa is also the Māori Strategy Project Manager for Otago University, and he holds so many hats, but one that I hold very dear is Māori astronomy and his love for stars. So why don't you introduce yourself, Toa? And,
sure. Kia ora tātou. That is greetings and welcome to you all from afar and from near. The reason why I hold astronomy so close to my heart is probably because my mum, Raiha, she is an astronomer, and she's so humble that she would not look at herself as being an astronomer, but an amateur astronomer. However, the knowledge that she has shared over the years had inspired me as a child when I was like from 6 years old right through to my teens and obviously into my adulthood about our sky and what was happening in it. So walking about in my hometown in Aotearoa, New Zealand, down in the city, the capital city of Wellington, we would be out on the coastline at night time, and we'd be looking out at a dark sky from Hongweka Marae, from Hongweka Bay, which is in Porirua, just north of Wellington. And my mum would show us all the stars that would sit over the top of our landscape. And it would be special parts of our landscape, like our island, like our sacred mountain. And she would say, these are the things that we see here every year. And although my mum, who was very supportive of her Māoritanga, and coming from her mother and father, who descended from her mother, who was a holder of Māori astronomical knowledge, what we call Tātai Arorangi, it was obvious for me that my mum felt more comfortable to speak about these things from a Western astronomical perspective, because at that time, not many people believed that our Māori culture had a lot of this knowledge, because it was so hidden. And so over the time and duration, I've been working with many like-minded tohunga or experts in their own right that have moved into the fields of astrophysics. One of my colleagues and co-chair for the Society of Māori Astronomy Research and Traditions Trust is the first Māori astrophysicist for New Zealand and the world, I guess, Dr. Pauline Harris, and many other very special tohunga and leaders or expert leaders of our country, like Hoturoa Kerr and Hector Busby, who have helped to revitalize our connection to our ancient knowledge that affirms Māori and their scientific observation, exploration across the planet and across the universe. And so much of our knowledge has been buried within genealogical charts, and it's been very awesome to be able to share our combined knowledge and information to be able to create innovative ways to share that with our people in Aotearoa New Zealand. Both, first and foremost, we want to empower our own people, the Māori people, to bring them back to the realization that this knowledge is very special. And so I guess that's the reason why we're talking here today, is because we're coming into the month of Matarihi, the Māori New Year.
Right. Well, you have mentioned Māori astronomy several times, and I have to admit that when I came here 11 years ago from that central part of Europe called Romania, I had no idea what Māori astronomy was about. And I can imagine that some of our listeners would be curious to understand what that is. And I was hoping you can give us a little bit of an overview on Māori astronomy. Why is Māori astronomy different from anything else that we know?
Well, the most beautiful thing that I like about radio and podcasting is that it requires two ears and no voice, because you are only to listen to the words. And the one thing that I think is most effective, that is when you are in the middle of the night and you hear the stories of Māori, what we call, or what have been renowned as become as legends, they are actually our vehicles to pass on knowledge to the next generations. So Māori astronomy, tātai arurangi, or tātai kokorangi, that is different dialects of Māori language from different tribes, recognizing the genealogical connections between our people and the stars. And if we are to understand our connection to the stars, then it gives us an ability to understand where we are in the universe, where we are and where we want to be, and where we want to go.
So Māori think that they are coming from the stars.
Oh, definitely, yeah. I think in the modern context, the average Māori person looks to the stars with wonder, and they know that we have a connection to these whetū, these stars that are, you know, above us every night and also in the day. And that's the beautiful thing, is to know that those stars are actually around us night and day. I mean, Tamanui te Rā, the sun, is one of our stars. And it is by far one of the most important stars. So if we're to say, yes, do Māori do recognize our connection to the stars? Through our genealogical charts, we have identified our very different process to connect to those stars with genealogies, through our trees, through the growth of a seed into a taproot, and recognizing that seed that grows into a taproot and then into a seedling is almost synonymous with the processes of the Big Bang, and that's what probably our immediate connection is.
This is amazing, because I think that hearing your stories about how Māori connect back through generations, for me, this felt like the most scientific explanation that I have ever heard in all the stories about origins. And I fell in love with the Māori astronomy exactly because Māori do trace in your culture, their origins back to the stars. And this is what astrobiology is teaching us, isn't it? That we are made of stars and
Yeah. I think if we look at the words of Carl Sagan, we are stardust, then all we need to look at is the most common greeting of the Māori language, and that is kia ora. Kia ora can say to you, kia ora, welcome. Kia ora, thank you. But also, kia ora, to be of the sun. Kia ora, to be of life, yes, but also kia ora, to be of the sun.
So you're saying that in Maori, the name of the sun is
Ra. Yeah.
So it's like the Egyptian.
Yes. Yeah. So there are. I think our linguistic connection through the family languages is through Dravidian. Our ancestral links. We have carried ancient names that I think are synonymous with many different cultures across the world. And yeah, kia ora is to be kia of or towards or of the sun. So something similar to kia ora would be tihe Māori ora. That is something that has become known to a number of our different tribal dialects as meaning sneeze the breath of life. Tihe Māori ora also can be connected to Māori, to carry, or Ma from Udi, if we broke the words down, a descendant of Tihe, to sneeze, yes, or Ti, to descend from high, He, outwards, expanding out, Ma from Udi, descendant, or of Ra, the sun, the pinnacle descendant line of the sun.
I love how these ancient words can be explained and how you can talk about all this ancient knowledge that is ciphered in all these words that you're using. And there is something else that I fell in love with when I came here, and that was the way you were using the stars to navigate the Pacific Ocean, which, again, when I came here, I realized it's kind of like half the world. It's very hard, or is it not? And I was hoping you can tell us a little bit about that as well, how you arrived to Aotearoa and what did that mean for Māori culture?
I think it was hard, whether it was in this modern day, with all of our technology, or in the years 2000 BC, 4000, 5000 BC, when Māori started to expand out across the largest mass of the planet, the Pacific Ocean. At that time, there was trial and error, and it can be cited in a number of our discussions that we have around the way in which we ventured out and explored the Pacific Ocean, how our traditions started to change, because we talked about, ko ngaro rātou ki te pō. We talk about those who are lost to the night. Well, the night wasn't just the dead, but also the night was where we were venturing out across an ocean at night time reading our stars. So there was a huge acknowledgement to that innovation by our ancestors who ventured out through night and day. Hei te pō, hei te pō, hei te ao, through night and day, to understand and to be able to ka rongo te pō, ka rongo te ao, to listen to the day and night in order to understand it, so that their next generations, all the way down to us today, were able to utilize that knowledge in order to find this place, Aotearoa. And so that was a huge undertaking by our ancestors to spread out across the Pacific, and people almost every island of the Pacific. To us as Māori, we are not Polynesian. We're not Micronesian. We're not Melanesian. We are all one. In the words of one of our great navigators of the Pacific, Mo Piailug had said, that there are no imaginary lines across the Pacific Ocean, because the currents of the ocean take us from one set of islands to the other for a reason, because we are connected. We are connected genetically through genealogy, through our traditions. And what tātai arorangi, tātai kokorangi, Māori astronomy, whakaterewaka, that's canoe navigation, those two elements working together, what that has enabled for us in this modern day is to reconnect and rekindle our links with our Polynesian, our Micronesian, Melanesian brothers and sisters of the Pacific. They were never separated. We were always one. And it's great to see the revitalization of our knowledge that is reuniting our links to them.
So if you do go to Hawaii, or if you go to Tonga or Samoa or any other place in the Pacific Ocean, Easter Islands, can you understand their language?
With a few seconds delay, yeah. There are issues, obviously, because the dialects have changed through interaction with other cultures. But the one thing that has remained the same is what is at the core of our language, and the tikanga, or the protocol and etiquette by which we apply our thought process, our perspective. So for a lot of Māori and Polynesian perspective, we all come from the same understanding. And so we acknowledge things in a specific way. And that has been probably the strongest link, first and foremost. But also the words themselves. You go to Hawaii, we have the old saying, you know, karongo te po, karongo te ao, karongo te hera tangata mai, Hawaiki nui, Hawaiki roa, Hawaiki pamamao. Hawaiki is a word that has been a part of the kanaka Māori, the tangata Māori of Hawaii, forever, pretty much. It has the same origin of understanding as Māori, and that is that it is named after our ancient homeland. If we were to break that down into words, yes, it reflects something about the breathing of water up into the sky, which can only happen from volcanic places, Hawaiki or Hawaii.
A lot of traveling and a lot of beautiful stories in the Maori astronomy and in the Maori stories. So you mentioned Kongaro Ratau ki te pō, those lost to the night, and we are heading towards a very beautiful time of the year here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. And that is the celebration of Matariki, which in other words is the Maori New Year. And people from around the country are preparing for the New Year. And I was just hoping you can tell us a little bit about it.
Sure.
How can we celebrate New Year now?
Well, it's very fitting that you brought up that Ko ngaro rātou ki te pō, haere atu rātou. Ki te pai pai roa, Matariki me rehua. Haere, haere atu rā. At this time of the year, we look back on the year that we have just had. We look back on those who have passed on. We are reminded to acknowledge and respect those, for without them, our advancement to this date would not have been possible. And without all of those who have given their lives and their time, nothing would be possible. So the Māori New Year, Matariki, in the Southern Hemisphere, while we're down here in Aotearoa, is marked in winter, in the shortest day, but the longest night, Te Pō Nui. And around this time of the winter solstice, I believe this is the reasoning around how and why we observed Matariki. In the Southern Hemisphere, when we came to Aotearoa, we were in the Southern Hemisphere, and so therefore we had to recognize the shortest day. We did not live for the winter, and particularly in the latitude, halfway between the whole country of Aotearoa, New Zealand, being around 40, 41 degrees, we did not live on this latitude, in this cooler temperature. We more often lived in more temperate temperatures. But when our people moved to Aotearoa, they knew they had to make it through the long, dark night, Te Pō Nui. Te Pō Nui being the winter solstice, once that dark time came, which was marked by the rising of Matariki, Matariki would rise, the first new moon and then Matariki rising after that new moon was approximately the timing when our ancestors were recognizing the longest night had passed, and that Tamanui Te Rā was on his way back to warm us again.
Also, Matariki was heliakali rising, which means before the sun, so yes. You were able to observe Matariki in the morning time.
Yeah.
Because it's disappearing from the sky for about 2 or 3 months.
That's correct, yeah. So yeah, it was a helical rising of the Pleiades of Matariki. That is also connected to a number of our whakatauki or our proverbs that recognize that the rising sun and the dawn is very important to projecting across our year of what we are to receive and what is in store for us. So looking at Matariki, the arrival of the Māori New Year, a lot of our country, particularly definitely Māori and Polynesian, and now more so our fellow Pākehā of Aotearoa New Zealand, recognize the Māori New Year as a time to take inventory, to give thanks to those who have given their life and energy, to build better futures for our people, and then plan ahead. There was in the adolescent stages of revitalizing our Matariki traditions, there was the perception and the belief that Matariki was a time of cultivation. Matariki is winter in Wellington, in New Zealand. But in the Northern Hemisphere, Matariki would have been a summer tradition. So it's not wrong, but it's just over the duration of the journey of Māori across the Pacific Ocean from the Northern Hemisphere to the Southern Hemisphere, I believe that is the reason why there was the perception that Matariki was a time of abundance.
This is an interesting point that you're bringing here, and I know that in other cultures, Matariki, we call it the Pleiades. Actually, we call it very many things because people from...
Subaru.
And the Japanese are actually looking
at... Turaya.
People who died. Yeah, this is Indian one.
Thai. Dalakai. Yeah,
very, very... actually, everyone in the world who can see the sun and the moon can see Matariki.
North American. Anatsutsa.
Because Matariki is like 1 degree from the ecliptic. So then... But I'm just wondering whether time of plenty and also this thinking of the dead people is related to the fact that Matariki, it's a cluster of stars rather than just one. And also Halloween, right? Like, mm-hmm. This is the best example that I can come up with. Halloween was celebrated by the sighting of the Pleiades. Why was Matariki chosen?
In our traditions of Matariki within Aotearoa New Zealand, we have recognized Matariki as the place where the spirits of our ancestors will fly. That is in the northeastern corner of the sky, as looking from, in a helical rising, from New Zealand. So that means that we face north, we look to the northeast, and we can see Matariki rising. In Aotearoa New Zealand, it is believed that our ancestors' spirits would fly the length of the land and interrupt to be a part of the whole waiora cycle, where water has evaporated and gone back into the atmosphere. And at the same time, the wairua, which is a little bit less explained, the spirit of our ancestors was able to return back to the universe. It would go to that place of Matariki, and upon the platform that Matariki and the Rehua, which is the red star, Antares, in the Fishhook of Maui, which sits at 41 degrees latitude over the head of the fish of Maui, Wellington. Our ancestors' spirits would travel along that journey, recognizing all of the stars that helped to lead them and their ancestors across the Pacific Ocean. Because before you could go back to the beginning, you had to acknowledge everything that had happened before you. And so this was...
So this is linked to your genealogical charts as well.
Yes, yes, it is. To some of our tribal genealogical charts and recognition, but also just to our basic etiquette and protocol of recognizing the dead. When we recognize the dead, we will often say that they are like the many stars of the night sky, and there were thousands of them, millions, more than we can count. But at the same time, they are also like Matariki, the eyes of the sky. Matariki, the eyes of the sky looking back at us. Piata maira ki amato. They gaze back upon us and they watch over us. Because for everything that is evolving upon Papatuanuku Earth Mother, we have a connection and a link to the rest of the cosmos. Because our ancestors had understood those links and those connections in a very intricate manner. They were looking at, you know, processes within trees and within the forest and within the growing of the seeds and how those things, not just because they were seeds, but actually because of the behavior of a tree and the way in which it related to the sun, the rising of the sun, the movement of the sun across the sky, and the way in which those trees and their leaves or their flowers would turn and look to that sun and follow it. And then when the sun went down, they would close again. But then when the sun came up in the morning, those flowers were waiting there looking for the sun. And so our ancestors realized that they deduced that there was a connection between the trees and the sun. And through that, in English we call trees trees, in Māori we call trees rākau. Rā, sun, kau, kau, nun. If you stand under a tree when it's a hot place, rākau, no sun. But if you look at that word and if you broke it up more, rākau, you would be nourished by the sun. And because of that, I believe this is the reason why our ancestors made a link to the creation of the universe story and what we call the process called te pūtake, that is the birth of a tree, the birth of the seed, and the many processes that create.
I love it how the Māori story of creation talks about the separation of Rangi, the Sky Father, and Papa, the Earth Mother. And the only child who could do that was
Tāne Mahuta.
Tāne Mahuta, yeah. And
Tāne Tokorangi, Tāne Nuiārangi, Tāne Te Waiora, Tāne Te Wānanga.
In natural biology, it's life that actually created the oxygen, and it's life that separated Earth from the sky and gave birth to what we are today. So it has been fascinating for me to learn about all these legends and stories that you are telling in your culture that are so resonating with me in the scientific world.
Mm. So that's an interesting thing that you say, that tāne mahuta, tāne te waiora, tāne mahuta, tāne nui ārangi. These are the many different facets of tāne. So often the word tāne gets lost amongst the modern use that it is male. But it's more than that. It's about force and energy. And tāne mahuta, tāne te waiora is the title that was given to tāne when tāne gave the breath of life into hine ahuone. And that was known as Tihe Mauriora, behold, the sneeze of life that gave life to the first lineage of humanity from a wahine, a woman. But tāne te waiora in the same instance is very interesting, because tāne is a wete wete, is a separator or a divider or one who can define. Tāne te waiora, Y being water, ora being life, the water of life. Tāne te wai ora, the water of the sun.
Because of the photosynthesis, right?
Yeah. Photosynthesis, oxygen, hydrogen, those elements that are recognized within Tāne te wai ora's name. Very significant to the process and the capability of life on Earth.
And so on Matariki, we celebrate life as well as death.
We cannot celebrate life without acknowledging that which has been lost, that which has been achieved by the dead.
It is a cycle.
Yeah, it's a cycle. Every year it's a cycle. And it is a practice that over intergenerational practice of recognizing that teaches us a humility about our environment, about our vulnerability as humanity, but also about where and how we want our children's children's children to be in the future. They cannot be as, you know, anything unless they base it upon the achievements of those who have been lost to the night. And then they can be Ngā Tamariki o te rā, the children of the day, the children, the rangatira of tomorrow, the chiefs of tomorrow. So when we imbue our children with the traditions of our ancestry and those small achievements, and that humility of that, then it will imbue them with the humility to be able to respect their environment and the world that they're in, so that we can go forward in a much safer way. Matariki has a number of different facets to it, but one of the primary facets in my belief is, and what I've been brought up as, is Matariki is about, first and foremost, acknowledging all that has been done before you. And you can never become a leader unless you acknowledge those who have already led before you.
Right.
To give respect to those great achievements, but also to give respect to that great humility of those who have done things before. And then going forward, to prepare your children for what they need to do in their time, in their generations. So what we do now will be the pathway that which our children will walk on. Matariki wasn't just about us and one tribe acknowledging the dead of ours, but also we needed to look to our allies and to our neighbouring tribes that we got along with, and we needed to travel to them and tell them, we remembered the work that your ancestors did. We remembered the work that your parents and your grandparents did. And we remember the loss. So Matariki was a time for one tribe reconnecting their kinships with another. And that was a primary, you know, practice.
Yeah.
In the modern day, it's something to be revitalized.
Right.
Yeah. At the beginning of our kōrero discussion, one of the first things I said was that, you know, Māori astronomy, Tātai Arorangi, was about understanding where we are in the universe. And part of that is that when our ancestors travelled across
vast expanses,
not just the Pacific Ocean, but many other places, that our ancestors looked up and they were able to place themselves with the stars. Now, that wasn't because they were on the ocean and they knew what was happening underneath the stars, but it was because they knew where the stars were in relation to their point of origin.
So they knew every single star in the sky at different latitudes, right?
Eventually, yes. But that was a process of elimination, hence the whole talk about Kangaroatu Rātou ki te pō, those who were lost to the night, those who achieved that knowledge.
Which is why Matariki is so important.
Yeah.
To remember.
So Matariki
those
is to remember those who actually went out and tried the oceans. Because in other cultures, it was a flat planet. And, you know, you go off the edge and you would fall into hell.
Not in Māori.
In Māori, no. No.
I remember the story of Maupialu. Maybe you want to tell it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Māori and Māori Polynesian were all the same. So it was pretty much wrapped up in a nutshell when Mo Pialug and our tohunga, our expert, spoke about when our NASA expert asked them, how did your ancestors know that the Earth was round? And Mo Pialug looked up and he answered. He just was like, whoa, I remember when my father said to me, I look at the moon. The moon is round. I look at the sun. The sun is round. I think to myself, maybe the Earth is round. And so from that philosophy, that's basic, very simple, but very clear and connected to our environment. And that is making sense of what you're surrounded by. Not being lost in intellectualizing about something afar, but actually looking at what's surrounding you. And that informs what's really going on. These are the simple ways that our people look at our environment. They're not big and grand and highfalutin. They're just being connected with our environment and understanding it. And
common
therefore,
sense.
Yeah. The common sense that is not so common in this modern day, but to our elders and to that time, it was very common. And what we want to do is we want to see that that becomes more common, not just to Māori, but to everyone. Because I think it is really important that everyone on this planet remembers what is common sense.
And what we're all about.
Yeah. And it's written up there in the stars, and we can bring that information down because it's still sitting there. The difference about, you know, we have a Māori saying, Whatu ngarongaro he tangata toi tū te whenua. The eyes and the vision of the people might change. They might get lost. The land will always remain the same.
Right.
Back in pre-18th century, that might have been true. In the modern context, people can move mountains away and change the whole landscape. But people cannot move stars away. Whatu ngarongaro he tangata toi tū te whetū. Toi tū te whetū. The eyes and the vision of the people might change, but the stars will always be there. And in the recognition of one of my ancestors, Tō Rangatira, and his son, Marangai Pārua, he recognized the stars above. And he said, however many stars there are up in the sky, a small cloud could blot them all out, but they will never be obliterated. That is a double saying. One of the points is, what he's saying is that which has always naturally led our people will continue to lead our people no matter what and incur what we hit.
Kia ora and kia kaha.
Ai, kia koe hoki. Kia koutou rā, e mihi atu kia koutou. Nei rā te mihi atu, o tira he mātauranga Māori tēnei. No te tino rangatiratanga, hei tiaki, hei manaaki, ki o tātou nei mātauranga, he taonga o tātou nei tiriti o te waitangi, o tira he taonga o nehera I mua a nehera. The knowledge that I share is the treasures of my ancestors. I ask that you treat it with respect and you acknowledge our people and that it is not used as a money-making project. Kia ora.
Thank you to Awaka for being our guest tonight, and I have absolutely enjoyed your stories, as I always do. And as once you told me, e whiti anana whetu o te rangi, ko takoto ake nei, ko papa tuanuku. Greetings from here from Aotearoa, kia ora and kia kaha.
Kia ora. E mihi mauri ora kia koutou. Tēnā koutou. Kia ora.